We're looking at the written word of God. We examine the living word. We're looking at the issues of God's word as it relates to the Bible itself as it's been printed on pages today. As we examined these issues last week, God's word in our heart and in our life being manifest out through our mouths and through the activities of what we do and how we live. And what we're looking at today is just an examination of Scripture. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We're going to examine a couple verses here. And before we do, let's ask God's special blessing on our service. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon your people. We pray that you would give us a whole new desire to live according to your word, and to allow it to guide our paths and allow it to show light on our direction. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us and help us as a congregation to become a word church. Help us to be a church that bases its life on your word, to where that we appreciate it, we respect it, and we follow it. Help us to get a whole new allegiance for those things that you have written. And help us to start to develop a real lifestyle, a real pattern for our lives, to where that we are examining our lives and comparing it with your word and following your word and doing those things that it says. Help us to shed off the opinions and the system of this world. Help us to not allow ourselves to be inundated with all of those things that the world has to say and what they think and how they do things. We just pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to live our lives in accordance to those things that your word says, and give off those things that the world would try to give us to live by, and to pattern our lives after, and to run our businesses on, and to pattern our marriages and our child raising on. Help us to follow those things that your word says and do those things instead. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, the Bible talks about a man that had a servant, or we could say an employee, who was pilfering his funds. And so in Luke 16:1, Jesus tells us this parable about this man who was abusing the funds of the company that he was working for and was squandering his possessions. And so the boss talks to him and calls him in and says, I want to talk about the way you're running my business. And he said, you're no longer going to be my manager because I have decided to fire you. And so I want you to go get the books, and I want you to bring them to me and let me see what you have done. And so then the guy thinks, well, okay, this is not a good thing. All of a sudden I'm about to lose my job, and I'm not prepared to go out and dig ditches. I'm not prepared to go out and do manual labor, and I'm too embarrassed to go out and beg, and so I'm going to have to come up with a plan. And so he does. He thinks, and he decides, well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do some further cheating of my boss. And so he goes to different ones to their homes, and he sits down with them and says, how much do you owe? And they said, well, this much. And he said, well, let's cut that down to this amount. Well, of course, they were very appreciative that all of a sudden they didn't owe that much money. And so that he made friends with them by lying, cheating, and stealing. And so he goes to all of these different places, to all these people who owe all this money, and he talks to them, and in the process, he develops a friendship with all of these people that he has cut the bills on with their bosses. Now, here's the strange thing about this story is that in Luke 16:8, Jesus says in interpretation to this parable, he says, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. And you think, whoa, that's not good. He bragged on him because he was a cheater and a liar and a stealer. That's a new approach. Then Jesus says, just from his own heart, just this is his own personal expression here. It says, "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light." Now that's weird. If Jesus were not telling this story, I don't think I'd be able to buy into it. I think I would struggle with this one. But you see, the whole issue is that the people of this world know how to use the world system better than we know how to use biblical principles, is what he's saying. And that what we struggle with is that we not only are bent by world opinion, which is what we talked about last Sunday, we are also manipulated by world system. To where that world system means more to us sometimes than the Word of God means to us. And we follow world systems more than we're able to follow those things that God directs. And one of the things that we've noticed as we read our Bible is it's not like any other book. That you can't just go to the Bible and turn over to the chapter on finances and study 12 steps on how to have a successful financial career. It's just not written like that. But you can go down to the store and you can buy magazines and you can buy books and you can attend seminars that will give you 7 easy steps to this and 12 easy steps to that and 30 easy steps to something else. Every magazine that I see on the newsstands, they've always got 6 of this, 12 of that, 3 of this. They're constantly giving you step-by-step procedures on how to live your life. We think, wouldn't it be great if the Bible were written like that? Where that we could just turn over to how to have a successful marriage, and it would just give us God's way of having a successful marriage. Why isn't the Bible written like that? And it's confusing to us that we cannot go to the Word of God and find these things just so that you can turn to them and say, well, there it is. And so then you have this preacher come and he preaches and says, okay, I've got all of these scriptures that I'm going to give you that are going to help you to have a successful career. Or I've got how to raise your kids. And he goes all over the Bible and picks out all of these scriptures that some people who have just recently come to Christ don't know. They say, well, good for him. Well, sure, it's easy for him to find them. He's been studying all of his life. And so he knows how to get these scriptures. I don't know. When I read my Bible, I don't see those verses in there. And so then someone writes out a topical Bible. Says, okay, here's all the scriptures on joy, and here's all the scriptures on peace, and here's all the scriptures on marriage. And said, okay, now we've got a Bible that I can read. Why didn't God do it that way? Why is it like that? To where that we can't find these specifics in there unless we have known the Bible for a long time and have studied and applied ourselves in a tremendous amount of hard work just ferreting out all of these passages of Scripture. Well, the Bible is dealing with something totally different than the world. The Bible system is totally, totally, totally different from the procedures of the world. When you walk into a grocery store and someone says, "Hi, welcome to Walmart," do they really care you're there? No. Are they glad to see you? No. They get paid to say that. And believe me, if they didn't get paid, they wouldn't say it. They're not glad you're there, but they have been trained to be glad you're there. They've been trained to smile. If they were not being paid to smile, they wouldn't smile. If they hadn't been trained to call you by name in certain stores, in certain places, they wouldn't call you by your name. And when they sit down with you and says, "Kmart cares." Sure they do. Kmart doesn't care. Kmart cares about your money. They do not care about you. And so this manager who was running this man's business, he was familiar with the world system. He was involved in embezzlement. And the rule in stealing and the rule in embezzlement is, don't get caught. If you're really good at the world system, don't get caught. I was reading from a car salesman. I was reading what techniques he used, and he was saying, "No, don't just stand there and lie to someone about things in the car that it has that are not true. And I thought, good, he's saying don't lie about these things. You don't tell people the truth. I think this is probably the first car salesman I've ever heard of that you know, was saying, don't lie. And he went on to say, don't lie about things that it's obvious that it's not true. I thought, okay, that's what I thought. That now there's a real car salesman. Good job. You're living up to the world system. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Well, that's not teaching you how to have a successful business, and yet it is. That's not teaching you how to raise your kids, and yet it is. That's not teaching you how to have emotional healing in your heart, but yet it is. Because what happens is that if you go around telling people that Jesus is your Lord and you go around believing that God raised Jesus from the dead, it takes you through a new door. You'll be saved, the Bible says, or you'll be born again, in another place it says. In other words, old things pass away, all things become new. So that when you walk in and say, hi, honey, it isn't because your psychiatrist told you to be nice to your spouse. You're not doing something that you were trained to do. You're doing something that comes from your heart. You're not acting like a Christian. You're a Christian. You are that person. You feel those feelings. You have those desires. And when you smart mouth someone, there's this check that takes place right here in your chest where you feel bad about those things that you said and did. To where the Holy Spirit is saying, no, that wasn't the right thing. Now, if the Bible took the world system approach, the Bible would be as large as the Library of Congress. Saying, okay, say this, do this, think this, feel this, treat people like this. And it would have to go down through this list after list after list after list of things. And yet, we've got this little tiny book here of the Bible that's just this big, even though it seems big when we're trying to read all of it. It's not very big in comparison to all of the laws that exist in the land today. Have you ever gone into a law library? Whoa, you talk about some laws. You see that judge sitting there and these two lawyers are arguing about whether or not this person should go to jail. And so they're quoting all these laws and the judge is listening to all their arguments. He doesn't know all of those things. He hasn't done all that research. He's expecting those lawyers to get in there and do all that research because they're just too much. To be familiar with every aspect of the law all the time. But in the Word of God, something happens in us and we are born again. We are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and it brings us to a place to where that something happens to us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. This is the place where we start on the principles in the system of God. This is the place where we start. We start off with feeling like the things of God are stupid, that they just don't make any sense to us. He cannot understand them. So why does he have to be taught to be nice to people? Because none of that makes any sense. He has to be taught, no, you cannot argue with the customers. The customer is always right. He has to be told, you cannot treat your wife like that. She will hurt you. You cannot be that kind of person and work for this company. And they have to be taught word by word, by concept, by principle. They have to be taken through all of the training of all the things that a person has to do to be successful in life because they're acting like a successful person. When you go to a party, you don't go to a party to have fun. You go to that party as fun. Because you need to be around. Because you have the joy of the Lord in your heart. You have those things of God in your life. They are there. You're not acting like a person. If someone says to you, you sure don't act like a Christian, say, thank you. Praise God. Why? Well, because we don't want to act like Christians. We want to be Christians. That's the whole principle of the Word of God, is bringing us to a place where we are, not where we act like. To where that when someone walks into our place of business, we're glad they're there. We're not just after their money. To where that the reason why we give them service, the reason why we do good things to our spouse, the reason why we raise our kids a certain way is because we love them. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. And it's a whole different way of life for the Christian. And so Christian spiritual principles are 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now that's huge. The fact is that we now have the mind of Christ that's thinking inside of us, and God's plan and God's will and God's purpose for our lives is now moving into our minds. We can hear the voice of God. I don't mean that he speaks out loud to us, but concepts just pop into our minds at the appropriate moments. Because God is saying to us, this is what I want to have happen in your life. This is what I want you to feel. This is what I want you to do. It's at this place where the mind of Christ starts to move into our personality. It moves into our character. And as you're standing there in a situation where you just don't know what to do, you may not know that specific thing that you need to do, but you will know the character of what you need to do. You will know that God is asking you to treat this person in love. Now, it's a strange thing when you ask a spouse, what is your wife like? What is your husband's favorite this or that? And they don't know. They'll tell you they know. They'll describe what they think it is. When you ask their partner, they'll say, well, I like this. And it's not what they thought. The Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get mad. Now, you could tell a husband, bring your wife flowers every week. You could tell a wife, scratch your husband's back once a week. You can tell them word by word, sentence by sentence, and build them out a structure for how to develop their relationship. I see some men smiling. Build a relationship with each other. And you can tell them, this is the things you need to do in order to make your spouse feel like you love them. Not true, but they feel like you do. What's the natural relationship that we have with those we love? We listen to them. Have you ever seen two couples argue? One's talking and the other one's thinking of what they want to say next. And they just take turns. Neither one's listening. Both of them are talking sometimes at the same time. Why? Because they're not interested in what their partner has to say. The reason why we don't know what our customers want, the reason why we don't know what our kids need, the reason why we don't know what our parents have to have is because we never asked them. Because we're not interested. And so the Bible doesn't just draw out, okay, treat your kids like this, 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 and this, and draw out all the list of things on how to raise your kids. It simply says, don't provoke your child to anger. Have you ever tried to tell your child, no, you can't go there, and not make them mad? Good luck with that. The Bible lays out this impossible principle and says, don't provoke them to anger. Well, what am I supposed to do? Let them get by with murder? No, you have to sit down and explain it. And when you do, you know what happens, don't you? Why? Well, because of this, this, and this, this. Yeah, well, why? Well, because I said so, all right? It's not easy. No, the principles of the Word of God are hard, but if we really want to develop the biblical systems in our lives and give up the world systems, then we will let God so transform our hearts that we become interested in people. We are listening to them, and when they talk, we're listening to them talk. And we not only are listening to them talk, but we start asking them questions. And say, well, explain that for me. What causes us to be interested? We've been born again. We are caring. We've been transformed. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. It's easy for us to start gaining an interest in those things that the people around us need and want. And so we start to listen to them. We start asking them questions. And we find ourselves learning what it's all about in the world around us. And as we do that, we find ourselves accomplishing things that we could not accomplish anywhere else. Now, here's the basic biblical principle. John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Is there an area of your life where you're suffering? Is there an area of your life where you are in pain right now? Is there an area of your life where you're confused? There's a missing truth. As you learn a truth, it sets you free. That's the key. Now it's no longer read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Now it's a treasure hunt. Where's that truth? If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, do you know what that requires? Questions. We have to be asking God questions just as much as we have to ask those people around us questions. We have to ask God questions. God, how do you get rid of depression? What does your word say about these things that have to do with relationships? What do you do in regards to a situation of finances? What is your responsibility, oh God, in my life and my responsibility to you? And we come to God hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What happens to us? We're set free. How many of you this morning came to be set free in some area of your life? Well, you five people are going to get a lot of blessings from God this morning. How many of you came this morning to be set free? How many of you who have your hands up are bashful and didn't want to put your hand up? I hear you. How do you get set free? Learn the truth. What's the truth of the Word of God? Now, what it's saying is that there's a scripture somewhere in the Bible that will set you free from that particular malady in your life. You understand what we're saying? The written Word of God gives you the truth. But if you're looking for some sort of something where it says to you on a specific level, do this or say that, then you're not going to find it. It's a truth, and it's laying there waiting for you to discover it, but it's a kind of truth that's God's type of truth. He's not going to give you seven easy steps to something. Instead, he's going to lay a truth out for you, and when you see it, it's going to take faith. He's going to say to you, I've done this, and you say, well, I don't feel like it. Now you've got to decide, is the Word of God true or what I think true? Is the Word of God true or how I feel true? Is the Word of God true or what it looks like in my finances? Is that true? We have to decide. We think, well, no, that's not the kind of system I like to base my life on. I don't want to just decide that something is true that I don't think is true. There's your problem. The just shall live by faith. There's our problem. The children of this world are smarter, wiser than the children of light because they know how to work the world system. We have to learn how to use the biblical system. We have to learn how to get the biblical system working in our life. Now, this doesn't sound like much, how do you do this? What are we talking about here? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We think, okay, now that's what I'm talking about. You know, I read things like that in the Bible, and it's just not like, okay, here's the way to handle this situation with your kid. When we get into this typology stuff where you've got this illustration about an armor, and we start talking about putting on a helmet of salvation, that just doesn't sound like if your husband's giving you a hard time, dump the bum. It just doesn't make the same kind of sense. If your kids are giving you a hard time, do this. And a lot of times we're looking for something that just doesn't click in the Word. As we're reading, we think, where are we going here? But are you aware of the fact that you are not exoskeletal? Huh? I'm not what? Do you realize you're not a turtle? You realize that you're not an armadillo? Do you realize that your skin is soft and tender and easily pierced? That it's easy to get scratched? You aware of the fact that it's easy for you to get hurt? Well, just like your body doesn't have bones on the outside like a turtle, your spirit person gets hurt and damaged easily. And so what's happening is that you have been saved. You've been born again. Salvation has been placed on your head. And it is there protecting your mind, to where that you are now able to resist those things that are coming against you, to where that all of a sudden you feel fear and you don't know why you feel fear. You're looking over your entire life. You're running through the whole thing with a fine-tooth comb and you can't think of any reason. Why do I feel afraid? Why am I depressed? Why am I discouraged? Why am I feeling this helplessness and hopelessness? And your thought life is just running all over the place and you can't put your finger on anything of what's going on in my life. I can't think of a reason why all this is happening to me. And there's no protection. Your mind just thinks anything that Satan wants to say to it. And because of that, he is pounding the pulp out of your mind, your thought life. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written." Now, how did he know that? He studied it. It is written. Well, I'm just going to try to stop feeling depressed. I'm just going to start trying to be a nicer person. I'm just going to try to be a better boss. I'm just going to try to live a better life. The answer to all of our problems is, it is written. That's the final say. What you're going to discover is when you say, it is written, and you, to the best of your ability, quote that scripture or present it in your own words or go and find it and read it. When you say it is written, it's not like any other word you have ever read or spoken in your entire life. The Word of God is alive and powerful. And what you're going to discover is it is the sword of the Spirit that attacks those things that are attacking you. And what you're going to discover is those seven steps to a successful marriage are useless. And what you're going to discover is that all those world principles and all the world systems sound good but don't work. But what you're going to discover is the Word of God is alive and powerful. And it is going to defeat depression. It is going to defeat discouragement. It is going to defeat financial difficulties. It's going to defeat those things that are coming against you because you are not exoskeletal. You cannot depend upon yourself to protect yourself. You do not have natural self-defenses. You need the defenses of the Word of God being on the outside of you, and you need to be living inside of those principles, and you need to be using them. So we've got scriptures that we put up on the projector Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Those are truths. When God went out and stood on the precipice edge of time and said, "Let there be light," when he said it, it happened. And that's the way God's Word is. It's creative. And when you speak it, it creates reality and truth. It's different than anything you've ever exposed yourself to. The Word of God is different. It's alive and powerful. When you proclaim the gospel to someone, you're not just arguing with them about the reality of Christ. You're planting seeds in their life. They grow. You can walk away and leave them, and they will grow on their own. Why? Because they're alive and powerful. Amen? What we want for our church. We want to be people of the Word. We want to be a Word church. We want to, this morning, commit ourselves to being a Word church, where that we are not filled with world philosophies. We are people who base our lives on God's Word. And if God's Word says it, that settles it. Amen? Amen. If God says it, that settles it. Amen? Amen? That's got to be our commitment. If God says it, then that's the way it is. That's the truth. That's the truth. This is the truth. And what I think is not, if it doesn't agree with God's Word, what I think, then that's a lie. I'm believing a lie. And I don't want that in my life. You? Do you? This is a commitment that we make as a church and say, we're going to be a Word church. We're going to be a church that base our lives on God's Word. And that is going to settle it for us. Amen? And let's just stand here and let's all come up and let's commit ourselves to being a Word person. Say, I want to be a Word person. I want to believe God's Word. I want to just believe what the Word says. I want to believe what the Bible says. I want to base my life on the Word of God. I'm sick and tired of my mind and my life just moving all over the place and being all over where I can't grab it. It won't settle down to anything. There's no stability in my heart and in my life. I feel that insecurity. I feel that quicksand that is constantly around me. And I don't want it. I want to base my life on the truth. Say, God, make me a Word person.